Understanding shines forth in my surprise and wonderment. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with our instant inspiration. Understanding shines forth in my surprise and wonderment. When I am surprised, when I am in wonderment, I have understanding. What? How wonderful, you know. You just got yourself a job after 30 years of not having a job. How wonderful. Wow. Don't you even want to know what it is? Who cares? You know? You got a job. You got something that you said you wanted all this time, and now you have it. How great that is. And, well, don't you want to know what I'm going to do? No. Because whatever you're going to do, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a wonderful series of experiences where you'll go from one beautiful thing to another, maybe within the same company, maybe with different companies, but you're back in the business again of what you said you'd like to do. You'd like to be in the business. You'd like to have a job. You'd like to be needed. You'd like to be wanted, and that's wonderful. You see, understanding shines forth in our surprise and wonderment, and that's a charming thing. Wow! You know, that surprise, wonderment, both in the same word. Wow! How spectacular. You're pregnant. My goodness, you've been working on this for 10 years. Fantastic. And I don't need to know any details. Well, we would. No, I don't need to know any details. I'm just happy for you. Is this your baby? Oh, yes, indeed. Is it going to be a special child? It is a special child. You know, then don't give out the details. Well, my husband and I were having trouble, so he went down and put some sperm in the sperm bank. And then finally, we were able to, do whatever we wanted to do. And so he drew out some of his sperm from the sperm bank, you know. And they implanted it, and here we go. And how wonderful it is. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, that may sound exciting to you because you worked so hard on it, but stop. Stop thinking of the techniques of how you accomplished it and realize that it's a gift that has been given to you now. It is something very precious for you, and you have sought after this opportunity to have a child in your life for so long, and it's so fantastic. It's so fantastic. And you see, this is what happens. We oftentimes try to outthink what's happening to us. We try to outthink why these things are happening to us, why we're not getting it, and then why did we get it after not having it for so long, you know? What did we change about ourselves that brought it about? Don't ask, because you'll never figure it out. It may have been something way off in the hinterland of your mind that brought it about, and you'll have no idea. You might think, oh, I just decided to be loving. I just decided to do this or do that. It had nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with it. Being loving has nothing to do with the law of cause and effect. Ooh, you say that? Yes, I do. The law of cause and effect has nothing to do with right or wrong or good or bad or up or down or in or out. It only has to do with you putting a cause in motion. Now, what cause do you want in motion? Then that's what you talk about. You don't talk about, well, I'm a good man or I'm a good woman, and I've done good things for society, and I've been a good mother, and I've done all these things. That's why I have gotten this wonderful opportunity, because I am such a wonderful mother. I'm such a wonderful father, or whatever. And that's not the case. That's not the case. There are rotten to the core people, as far as we can observe them, who get the nicest things. Have you ever noticed that? They get the nicest things, and they are rich, oh my goodness, and they're healthy, as far as we can see. They're wonderful. Now, why do these rotten to the core people have these wonderful things happen? Because they put the cause in motion. It's just that simple. It has nothing to do with whether you're good or bad. Being good or bad is a benefit to you in your life. It's true, because you've got to live with yourself. But as far as putting the law of cause and effect into motion, it has nothing to do with it. And that's why it's so fantastic when understanding shines through in my surprise and wonderment at the great experiences that are coming my way and coming the way of everybody else. I look at Mark and I think, here he is he really had no desire for this and no desire for that and no desire for the other thing. He did not pursue anything. Then all of a sudden, he found out that flying was exciting. Above everything else, flying was exciting. Then he decided, hey, I want to make flying more fun. I am going to make airplanes that are easy to fly. Woo-wee, and he did. I am going to make engines that are reliable and that are less weight and that do a lot of other good stuff. And he's doing it. He's doing it. Now, he is so proud of having a pollution-free engine. Well, that's great. It'll be beneficial for a few years. But as hydrogen comes in, hydrogen just has, what does hydrogen lose?
Water.
Water is the pollution of hydrogen. And it's no pollution. It's just plain water. And you see, things change. But he came up with his idea in time to develop it. And now, do you think that he's going to stop there? Do you think he's going to look into into hydrogen, and see how hydrogen can make his engine even more powerful and more beautiful? You bet your life. You bet your life. He doesn't have to do anything. He does it because it's a thrill for him. He does it because of joy. And I look at him, and I'm in wonderment and surprise every time I look at him, because he just has a dream in his heart, and he goes off and he brings it forth. He has a desire, and he goes off and brings it forth. Now, there are times when he has allowed himself to be sidetracked. And because he's allowed himself to be sidetracked, he has experienced some other things. Now, those other things, which might be considered negative, don't have to have any power either. He can immediately put a new cause in motion on those things and have them be perfect. So that he'll have perfect eyesight and perfect this and perfect that and perfect the other thing, you know? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How many scientists do you know who wear glasses? Quite a few. How many musicians and lovers and what have you do you know who wear glasses? Lots. So, you see, that's not a big deal. Nothing is a big deal. The only big deal is when we make it a big deal and we worry about it and we concentrate on it and we improve it. We improve our cancer by concentrating on it. Oh, the more we think about that cancer, the more we give it power to grow and power to do dumb things to us, you know. How wonderful. And you say, wonderful? Yes, how wonderful. That we're putting the law into motion and we're getting the result. Now, do you want that to be the result? If you don't, then stop putting the law in motion. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at the things that I or others experience, because I know the cause that's being put in motion. Now, what kind of cause are you putting in motion for yourself? What kind of cause are you putting in motion for your life? What kind of understanding is shining forth in surprise and wonderment at you? Ellen was speaking her word about Diego the other day, and she says, everything is perfect in Diego's life. And then, all of a sudden, Diego says, hi, Mom, everything's perfect in my life. What? Oh, hey, oh, hey, good, good, good. Surprise and wonderment, you know. Now, is everything good as far as Ellen's concerned, or as far as Diego's concerned? Or both? You see, when Ellen has her nose in there and says, Diego, you must become a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. And Diego says, Mom, I want to be a banker, you know. And she, well, that's okay too, you know. But the thing is, if she would just have shut up and just said, Diego, follow your heart. Follow your heart. She would be happier and he'd be happier. Now, can you do that for yourself? Just follow your heart. What do you want to be, Ingeborg? And I don't mean here on the ranch or not on the ranch or whatever. What do you want to be in life? And you don't know, so you can't tell me right now. But what do you really want to be that's going to express the divine in you? Now, let it reveal itself. And then follow it. Maybe you want to be a caregiver. Maybe you want to be a writer. Maybe you want to be a who knows what, you know. Maybe you want to live to 225 or 50 or something like that, you know, or 2,000. And you, Sylvia, what do you want to be? You haven't figured out yet. You're enjoying doing a lot of things. You're enjoying using a lot of talent. And your biggest problem, Sylvia, is that you have so much talent, you don't know which to choose from. And so don't. Just follow your heart. Do whatever ideas come to you, whatever imagination strikes you and says, hey, this is interesting, follow it. And the door will open for that perfect idea for you to fully express who you are and what you are. But don't chase after it. Don't say it's got to be this or it's got to be that or whatever, because the minute you do that, it'll be that, but it'll be that with a struggle. If you follow your heart, there'll be no struggle. You'll just flow with it. Now, doesn't that sound good? Mm-hmm. That sounds good for all of us. And Ellen, what about you? I wrote a letter to a lady who is in her 80s, and she was telling me that she has this little problem and that little problem, and that she has followed this teacher and that teacher and the other teachers and our philosophy, and that she is confused. Well, no wonder she's confused. No wonder if she's confused. She is a jerk. She is a jerk. And you know why she's a jerk? Say it real quickly if you think you know it. Do you know why she's a jerk?
Because she believes she is a jerk.
Do you know why she's a jerk?
Because she doesn't believe in herself.
She's not following her own self. She's listening to other teachers. She's listening to other masters that she's believed in. Beautiful people like Joel Goldsmith and Ernest Holmes and Charlie Fillmore and so on. She believes in these people, which is great. But those people, they didn't believe in that. They believed in themselves. And you know, Ernest Holmes and Joel Goldsmith and Charles Fillmore, they never told what they were really believing in. They never told the secret of their heart, the goal that was most important to them. They kept that to themselves, and they demonstrated it for themselves. They didn't have to go out and prove it to anybody. They just did it for themselves. Now, are you ready to let yourself be revealed to yourself? When you're ready to let yourself be revealed to yourself, you'll find the most important word in your vocabulary or words is shut up. Don't tell anybody anything. Jesus said, go and tell no one. Now, when we have that wonderful creative imagination of our heart, that secret of our heart, when we have that revelation within us of who we are and where we're going and what's important in our life, don't tell anyone. Because those who can't see it will say, oh, dum dum. And those who can see it don't need to be told. Mm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. So don't tell anything. It's not that you're keeping a secret. It's just that you are living your own life, doing your own thing, having fun being yourself. And that's what it's all about. Understanding shines forth in my surprise and wonderment. And it's great. And I love you, I love you, I love you.